In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. TV has given all of us a little bit of a world, all of us a little window into the world of policemen. We kind of feel like we know now, because the show Cops, you know, has been around for ages. And now we've got Live PD and others. Well, whenever these policemen, they catch a criminal that's clearly guilty, they're clearly intoxicated, they can't walk a line, or they found the drugs in the car or whatever. Okay, whenever this happens, a very common pattern emerges, if you've watched these shows at all. So do the criminals simply and quietly admit their sins, you know, walk over to the police car, get in the back seat, you know, calmly, no problem, right? Is that what happens? No. They immediately go in with the excuses, right? The lies, the amazingly ridiculous stories. And I don't watch these shows that much, but when I watch them, I've often heard the policeman say something like, just tell us the truth and, you know, we'll help you out. But it never works. You know, they never will do it. They always got the lies and the excuses and all this stuff. And by the way, we do the same thing. Right? If we get pulled over for a speeding or whatever, what's our first reaction? Give an excuse. Not just say, you know what, I was speeding and I knew I was speeding. No, oh, I was late, I've had a rough day, you know, I didn't look at the speedometer, you know, whatever. So all of this is trying to justify ourselves. That's what they're doing. They're trying to justify what they've done. And that is the fatal flaw of the lawyer in the gospel reading today. I'll come back to that, but it's a perfect illustration of it. It's what sinners do. Jesus knows this man's a sinner, and Jesus will make it right if the lawyer will just let him. But no, the lawyer insists on justifying himself. So, you know, you heard it, but I'll very quickly remember. The lawyer asks, what do I do to get to heaven? Jesus says, you know the law. What does it say? And the lawyer says, love God, love your neighbor. And then Jesus says, good, now go and do that. Now here's the key verse that I'm talking about that we're kind of honing on, verse 29. But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? He wants to justify himself. Now that word, justify, such a big word. That is the heart and center of our Christian faith, that word justify. As Lutherans, we've often used the illustration that justification is like the center hub of a wheel and everything else rotates around it. Or as our formula of concord says in our Lutheran confessions, it says if we get that article right, justification, then the church will always stand. If we get it wrong, then the church is going to fall over. This is the heart and center of everything we believe. Justification is how you are made just, how you're made right, how God accepts you. So then here's the key distinction which our gospel reading gives us this morning. You have two choices here. You can, as the lawyer does, try to justify yourself, or God will justify you. It's very much like these cop shows I bring up. The criminals are guilty. We all know it. So they have two choices. They can let the cops do the justice, which is their job, or they can try to justify themselves with their 100,000 excuses and lies. Same for us, okay? You and I have two choices. We're clearly guilty. We are sinners. We have not loved God as we should. We haven't loved our neighbors as we should. So we can try to justify ourselves. We can offer our excuses. We can lie about what we've done. We can try to hide some of the things we've done. We can make empty promises to God. Oh, I'm going to do better from now on. I'm going to change. We can blame others for it. We can blame God. Or we can be justified by God. We can calmly take our seat in the back seat of that police car while God, the judge of heaven and earth, will make it all go away. While he lets his own son, Jesus, you see, be arrested for you, go to jail for you, suffer the death penalty for you, and rise from the dead for you. our judge, God Almighty, covers up our crimes, not with lies and excuses, but with the blood of his Son, Jesus. So these are the two ways of making things right, the two ways of justification, the two ways of being at peace with God, of getting eternal life, either trying to do it yourself or God justifying you in Jesus. So now we have a story to make this very clear for us, help us to get this right. We have the story of the Good Samaritan. So Jesus tells a story about us lying half dead on the side of the road after we've been robbed and stripped and beaten. Now that's not the way we always hear the story. Oftentimes we hear the story that we're the Good Samaritan. But I would ask you to keep in mind, Jesus specifically told this story to the lawyer to show him that he was not the Good Samaritan. You have to think about it a little bit, but this parable will make no sense if the point is, lawyer, you be the Good Samaritan. The whole point is he's not. He hasn't loved as he should. This story is primarily about God being the Good Samaritan for us, our Savior Jesus Christ. So we are half dead on the side of the road. We've been attacked by our own sins, by death, by the devil, and we're hurting. We've been robbed of all our pride. We've been stripped of our self-righteousness. And we're lying naked. Which, by the way, I don't know if you caught that. He was stripped. He was lying there naked when the Samaritan found him. And the priest and the Levite come, but they're no help to us. See, if we weren't so obviously helpless, well, then the priest and the Levite, they might help us. And they might say, here, keep these laws. You know, just live your life a little more pure and, you know, be a little bit better Christian. Maybe they could help us try to justify ourselves. But they take one look at you and me and they say, oh, these guys are too far gone. It's a joke. We can't justify ourselves. We can't make ourselves right. But there's one who will stop to help. He is the good neighbor. The one who truly and fully loves us as he loves himself. We have a hard time doing that, but he does it. And he comes to us and he says, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to make this all right. I'm going to make you right. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to justify you. And you and I, we don't try to give excuses, you know, why we're lying in a ditch half dead. We don't tell some crazy, ridiculous story. We just believe in him and we trust him. And we let him pick us up and carry us to a place to heal us. And you all know I've been flirting with this phrase, like a good neighbor. You all know where I got that from, of course, because we live by Bloomington Normal, right? So like a good neighbor, in the State Farm commercials, or some of their commercials, whenever somebody's in need, they sing the jingle, like a good neighbor, and poof, the insurance agent miraculously appears. Well, pray tell, how will the super State Farm agent solve this problem? With money. Insurance money, right? The same money you've been paying to them for the last 20 years. Now that's fine for advertising and it's pretty ingenious commercials, but see, the true good neighbor, Jesus, does not fix your problems with insurance money. He's not an insurance plan, you know, that you go to when you can't handle it yourself. He comes to fix you by taking your place. By getting into the back seat of that police car with us and saying, I'm the guilty one, I'll take her place. He takes us to his inn, the church, to holy baptism, to the Lord's Supper, and he says, whatever they owe, I'll pay it, all of it. You don't have to sing a jingle for Jesus to come. He's already with you because you're baptized into him and you have his Holy Spirit, just like little Jonah this morning. You live with Christ and he is your good neighbor who is always there to justify you and make you right. So I would just ask you, just consider any sins that you are guilty of or have been guilty of. Pride, you know, greed, love of money, telling lies, hating someone, lust, adultery, pornography, gambling, any one of those, just think of that and say, Jesus comes to you and says, no, 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 I did that. Not him, not her, I did that. I'll take the price for that. I'll pay what he owes, what she owes. I'll make him or her right. And that's what he does. He justifies you, makes you just and right. He serves the justice. And like our good neighbor then, we love others as Jesus has loved us. And love, remember, doesn't need any justification. We don't love our neighbor because they deserve it or anything like this. We go and be a neighbor to anyone who's in need. The answer to the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? The answer was Jesus. Because Jesus is our neighbor, we can be a neighbor to others. And finally, I just tell you, I know I mentioned it already, but I love something like this bulletin cover because, you know, if we want to know what is love, okay, here, this is a picture of love. That's a picture of love. A Samaritan who is hated by a Jew stopping to take care of him. That picture of love is Jesus. He loves us in that way and then says, you go and do likewise. In Jesus' name. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.